I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Dr. William Wainwright, president of Southeastern Louisiana. Doc, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Doc, there's been a lot of discussion about the University of Louisiana system, the 9-member schools, in light of kind of the situation that UNO finds themselves in. And we interviewed the head of the UL system, and we're really anxious, actually excited to hear about the successes of so many of those universities, and obviously Southeastern being one of them. If you would, kind of give us a little background of Southeastern and where the state of the state today.
Absolutely. So it's an exciting time for the university. We are embarking on our centennial year, founded as Hammond Junior College in 1925. You know, here we are 100 years later. We've awarded over 97,000 college degrees, and with the majority of our graduates living and working in Southeast Louisiana, we've got an incredible legacy, but tremendous opportunity ahead of us. You know, as far as the state of the university, we're a growing institution, third largest in Louisiana, just under 15,000 students. We saw unprecedented growth this spring, growing across all areas. And I think a key contributor to that growth is the fact that we've been true to our mission. We were founded to serve the educational, economic, and cultural development needs of Southeast Louisiana, you know, healthcare, education, business. And we've evolved with other innovative programs, but we remain true to those original programs of study that we know have really built our communities and our economies.
What do you see for you guys, your biggest challenge over the next 5 to 10 years? It almost seems as though right now, in all levels of education, we're going through a little bit of a reengineering as to how we present information for students, the life of a student at the university. I mean, you know, they've been growing, but what you offer today probably far exceeds when you and I were in college, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, as you look at the growth specifically on the North Shore, I'm often told, well, the university is growing because the North Shore is growing. And it's interesting that we understand that by virtue of the growth on the North Shore, we have a lot of out-of-state public institutions certainly recruiting heavily due to the population growth. And what's continuing to mark our growth on the North Shore is really the value of the degree and how we market that, and the importance of us being in all of the high schools. We boast some of the largest dual enrollment numbers in all of higher ed in Louisiana, and giving parents and children the opportunity to earn advanced credit as they're making that final decision of where they're choosing to go is incredibly important. But we have to have you have the value of the degree. You also have to have the affordability discussion, and that's something we pride ourselves on. We are third lowest in tuition and fees among the UL schools, and yet with increased enrollment comes increased expectations of students. So we're very sensitive to market, and we always monitor, the access, which is what we were founded for back in 1925, was that access point, and balancing that certainly with affordability. But at the end of the day, it comes down to relevance. Are we offering relevant programs of study that lead to job opportunities here in Southeast Louisiana? And we continue to make great strides in that area.
Do you think that's going to be a new focus for a lot of folks? You mentioned, about tuition. I've always said there is a sweet spot where you hit, where it just makes sense for not only you guys as administrators, but your enrollees, your students coming in. It seems like y'all hit that sweet spot.
Evidence certainly suggests so. And as we look, recent legislation was passed to allow universities tuition and fee autonomy. And I think you're going to definitely see that take shape across higher ed in fall of 25. But even with that, we have not raised tuition and fees at our university since 2017. And so you think about consumer price index inflation and expectations of students when they enter our campus. As we embark on exercising tuition and fee autonomy, it's important we retain programs that are vital to commitments that students and families are making. I'll give you an example. At Southeastern, we have Southeastern Promise. So when a freshman enrolls, the tuition and fee schedule that they enroll in upon graduating on time, we never touch that tuition and fee schedule. There will never be any surprises along that path. Families are able to plan. And so that's something we're very proud of, in addition to the vast amount of scholarships that we offer students. And then again, affordability allows the dollar to stretch further, especially for those students who receive, Title IV funding, but also students who are receiving loans, ensuring that they're maximizing the financial investment.
So during the 4 years that you're there, your tuition is frozen as to the amount from the day that you enter to the day that you leave, if you do so within that 4 year period.
Yes, it's called the Southeastern Promise, but it's got to be within that four-year period. Now, if you stop out and re-enter, you could be subject in the future to increases. But if you join us and you stay with us throughout that four-year tenure, and you honor your commitment to graduate on time and be successful, we're going to honor our commitment to you.
That's a huge benefit. Everybody's involved in financial planning. Some do it well, some not so well. But this is a huge assist for families that are struggling, and they know over a four-year period, X means X.
Exactly. As a parent with a child who just graduated college, one who's currently in college, as my wife and I are both parents, we certainly understand the importance of planning. But more specifically, for us, ensuring that when a student graduates, that they've got a return on that investment, that is something that is paramount. And so we work hard. We look across all of our degree programs. We link very closely with business and industry. They are highly engaged in advisory committees and every one of our programs. I'll give you an example of recent. We recently established the concentration in medical sales. We had a void in Southeast Louisiana in offering a program of study for medical sales. And it was important that we hone in on that niche opportunity. And a lot of our alum who are successful in the pharmaceutical industry and sales and devices came together. They helped us craft that concentration to ensure that upon completion, we will hire that graduate. St. Tammany Health Systems, one of our initial partners, where we currently have students in the OR experiencing devices and learning about them. And so that's just one example of us being market responsive, but also being market driven.
What In the future, what do you think is going to be the let me rephrase this. There's so much negative that's talked about with financial aid right now and debt, right? We were on again, off again through the Biden administration as to what was being offered. Do you think that there's a heightened view now of that value proposition that you talked about?
Yeah, without a doubt, certainly there is. And that's why, you know, it's not only heightened across, you know, the minds of families and individuals going into post-secondary education, but within the walls of our institution, our team spends a lot of time in not only providing, you know, financial aid counseling, but really financial counseling to students, financial management while they're enrolled within our institution. And then we have lots of business partners who come in throughout a student's experience and talk specifically about that. I was in D.C. last week meeting with our congressional delegation and spoke specifically with Congressman Scalise, and we spoke specifically about the student loan program and borrowing and how in many cases students will take out more than is actually needed. And that's something that we look at closely to ensure we're communicating, you know, the actual need and total cost of education to protect our students and make sure that it lends to their success.
So if we were to look at a typical graduating class of Southeastern, what would we find? Where would the bulk of your students, what would they graduate in over a four-year period of time? Do you have kind of a breakdown of that?
Absolutely. Some of our highest number graduating classes are when nursing and healthcare, our College of Education, and our College of Business. Now, in addition to that, we've got a lot of interdisciplinary graduates coming out of our College of Science and Technology. That's where you're seeing a lot of our software developers, computer scientists, researchers all emerge through science and technology, but primarily healthcare, education, and business, which ties back to our founding and ensuring that we know our identity, who we are, and how we're serving the region.
Y'all, someone was telling me that y'all have a high rate of engineering students as well at Southeastern. Is that true? Did I hear that correctly?
So what we have is we have an industrial technology program through our College of Science and Technology, and we offer a degree in engineering tech. And so many of those graduates, one of them recently was hired as a software developer for Boeing. Many of them go on to be successful, but many of them also, we have transfer partnerships with LSU and the University of New Orleans. So if they are an engineering tech graduate and they want to go on to transfer perhaps to study naval architecture at the University of New Orleans, we have a path for that. If they want to continue on for mechanical engineering, we have a path to LSU as well. And again, that speaks to our ability to be intentional about where we make investments in our programs of study, that we're not trying to be everything to everyone, and that we're honing in on the fundamentals. The same for biological sciences. Many of our students who graduate in undergrad with a degree in biological sciences transfer to veterinary medicine, schools of veterinary medicine, but also transfer. We have a high rate of acceptance to medical schools. So, you know, our motto is, you know, we'll get you there, get there. And our goal is to get all of our students where they want to be long term.
And I think you guys have a pharmacy program as well. Is that correct?
We do not have a pharmacy program, no. But okay. Through biological sciences, if you have an interest in pharmacy, we can get you to pharmacy school.
Yeah, I must have misread that somewhere. I found it kind of interesting. So just a few minutes left, Doc. If you would just kind of summarize the offerings at Southeastern Louisiana. We're trying to give everybody this opportunity. I don't know that people really fully understand the breadth and depth of the economic impact that universities have, and not only in their kind of micro region, but just collectively throughout the state.
No, that's a great point. We recently completed a Lightcast study that shows Southeastern has a $1 billion economic impact for the region of Southeast Louisiana. And so as we continue to focus on new markets, we're going to be laser focused on niche opportunities where we're actually filling a void and we're not duplicating something that already exists within the region. I want our listeners to know that Carnegie just came out with a new classification of research institutions, and we are one of 212 newly designated university and college research institutions for the amount of undergrad research that we provide, which is quite significant. We're very proud of that. I also want everyone to know that when we look at markets and opportunities, we have a growing population of veteran students, and through our post 9/11 GI Bill, lots of opportunities for dependents. We're the first university to offer veterans housing, residential housing on campus. And so we're very proud of that work as well. And then our community engagement is essential. This Thursday, April 10th, Southeastern will host the North Shore Executive Business Forum. It's our second annual. We'll have close to 500 business executives together for the forum, hearing from a various number of speakers, including our Secretary of Revenue, Secretary of Economic Development. So, you know, beyond the walls of the institution, the mission is profound. And we're very proud of that as we celebrate our centennial. We'll be hosting Boys State and Girls State this summer at Southeastern. Very, very proud of that as well. And then also continuing some infrastructure investments. We will cut a ribbon in October on our Robin Roberts Broadcast Media Center, one of our outstanding alum. And also we're going to break ground on our North Oaks Health System, Southeastern Louisiana Academic and Athletic Training Facility. So it's an exciting time, and encourage anyone and everyone to research our university, research the value of our university, and we're excited about our 100 years, and we look forward to our next century of impact.
Dr. William Wainwright, President, Southeastern University, thank you so much for joining us and providing that information. I think a lot of folks are very curious about a number of the University of Louisiana System universities, and Southeastern just a hop, skip, and away from us here in the greater New Orleans area. So thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Truly appreciate the opportunity.
All right, folks, that's Dr. William Wainwright again, the president of Southeastern University. We'll be right back, 504-261-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we return, we'll visit with Mark Earhart, the president of the Earhart Group, and we'll be talking about how you receive your news information overload. Is what some people are saying, is it too much, too little, just the right amount, or what? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Mark Ehrhardt, president of the Ehrhardt Group. They just released a report entitled "The Game Isn't Changing, It's Changed, the State of the Media in 2025. And Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, it's good to be with you again.
Mark, that title is an understatement. It's changing so fast. I think a lot of folks not even sure where they are any longer.
Well, I mean, right now, we've always tried to stay optimistic when we talk about the Gulf South Index and we talk about how people in this part of the country can receive information and what they do with it. And what's become clear, though, is especially in 2025, is that the optimism just isn't there. And what we've seen over the process of 6 years is the optimism about where we are, who we are, the things that we believe in this part of the country, it's steadily gone down and down and down. Now, the upside is it's still higher than the rest of the country when it comes to optimism. But now, you know, in the Gulf South, we're much more like the rest of the country where we're looking around going, man, I just don't know what the future holds. And as we've looked at 6 years of data in doing this, one of the key factors is the amount of information that we have coming upon us every minute of every day. And by having that much information come at us, it creates a question of whether we should trust the information. More and more of us don't trust the information we're getting. And when we don't trust the information we're getting, we retreat into what we already know in terms of our behaviors. And when we retreat into what we think we already know, it makes it harder for good information or accurate information to break through that bubble that we surround ourselves with when it comes to what we read and share and who we even talk to.
Do you believe, because I do, I think this goes back to folks not recognizing or realizing the difference between news and opinion. It used to be the way that you presented it was a lot different, right? So it was easier and clearly delineated. Like, you know, you'd watch a news broadcast, and now you know, X station, we deliver our opinion, our news opinion, and everybody knew that was an opinion. But you watch shows now that look like news, really, it's an opinion show, right?
Well, I mean, most all of the news, I would say most all of the news outside of what we get locally is built around opinion sharing. And it's reflective, I think it's reflective in how we trust things. I mean, so Gallup had a poll recently where they said in the 1970s, you know, we used to call it mass media, newspapers, TV, radio, the things that, you know, everybody was watching or reading. And in the 70s, two-thirds of the United States population had a great deal or fair amount of trust in those media outlets. And so the most trusted person, you know, this is something I think we talked about last time, the most trusted person during the Vietnam War was Walter Cronkite, who is a journalist, right? I mean, I say Walter Cronkite, and I go, oh, yeah, I remember Walter Cronkite at the end of his career. But most people, generations have passed since Walter Cronkite was on the air. But he was the most trusted person in America, was a journalist. Now we've gone from two-thirds of the public thinking, you know, the media that we pay attention to is trustworthy, to where only a third feel that way. Only a third of Americans really trust a great deal or even a fair amount the media that they're reading and watching and listening to throughout the day. And I think a lot of that is built around people's opinions, and because we're sharing opinions and everybody's got an opinion, you know, it you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're all geniuses and experts around tariffs, right? When most of our lives, we probably never, outside of working with the port, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever, you know, had a serious conversation about a tariff around the kitchen table, but now we're all experts on it because we're bombarded by opinions about it every day. And so it's only the problem of information has only gotten worse because there's so much more of it. And we're having to just grind through it all. And then we ultimately rely on what it is that we know. And when we rely on what it is that we know, we're not as open to new information. We're not as open to what we would consider, what you would describe news and reporting what is happening, as opposed to opinion, which is trying to tell us what to think about what is happening.
Do you think that our desire to be right has far outweighed our desire to be educated? And I mean that educated by looking at both sides, you know. So it just seems to me that a lot of folks are out there searching for confirmation bias, whatever their bias may be, to find a news or opinion show that confirms it.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think everything has separated into a black or white discussion. And, you know, we present to different groups sometimes about where the news media is, where information is, and in terms of what people accept and what they don't, and what they share and what they don't. And everything is a fight to the death, regardless of whether you're where your political leanings are or whether your value leanings are or anything like that. It is a fight to the death. And I actually, you know, for the Gen Xers in the audience, you know, I throw up a picture of Rocky IV with Rocky and Ivan Drago staring at each other at the center of the ring, where Ivan Drago says, "I must break you," you know, and Rocky says, "Go for it." And it is just like that in the information world. And the trouble that's emerging, though, is that, you know, we found in the Gulf South Index that more than 50% of people are more concerned about misinformation coming through social media than they are concerned about government interference in terms of being able to share things on social media and police it. We're more concerned about getting false information and believing it than we are. We want the government to put some guardrails around it because we don't want to get misinformation. But the problem is, even though we know we're getting misinformation or we don't necessarily trust the information we're getting, we can't stop scrolling. And what we're doing by scrolling all the time, and with half the population of America getting their daily news from social media, is that the traditional, what would be considered mainstream news outlets reporting the news that end up in our feeds, they're being bombarded by the opinion makers and the people who are saying fringe things that we don't know are true. We just don't know. And you know, I'm in the business of communicating to people and trying to understand people. And, you know, there have been things that have come across where I was like, man, that sounds really,
that sounds like it's true. And I've had to Google to see if it really is. And I believe stuff that wasn't true. Now, I haven't shared it, but I'm tested, and I'm in the business every day.
Yeah, same here. You know, these news cycles, I have a list of things that I want to talk about at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the evening. Sometimes I'll leave the screen around midnight. I have to get up in the morning and recheck it because what was true then may not be true the next morning. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Right. And the speed. So a lot of this, what we're looking more into, what I'm personally interested in, is how the speed of information we get, the amount of information we get, influences how we make decisions, especially around our economic lives. How do we believe what we believe? And then how do we make decisions about what to do from there? And human beings, naturally, especially in this part of the country, we are loss averse. We don't like risk. And we will knowingly hold on to a bad hand of poker, knowing it's a bad hand because we fear the unknown of what we may get dealt the next hand. And it's just human nature. And when we have more and more information, or we have more and more negative information, things that create uncertainty in the outward world, it only causes us to retreat and white knuckle the information we have, which, you know, puts us in the where we're afraid to make decisions. We're afraid to do things outside of what we normally do, even if we know what we normally do isn't necessarily the best option. And that uncertainty that exists out there right now, we're just grinding it out in a world of uncertainty when we desperately, as consumers, as human beings, we want a little bit of, we want certainty, or we at least we want calm to where we can have confidence in the decisions we're making.
We're visiting with Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group. Mark, a thought wanted to get your reaction to. There's been a lot of discussion about ideological indoctrination in advanced educational institutions. Does that fuel or feed what we're seeing happening here? Because especially with your comments that you just made, it seems to me that you think a certain way because of the way material was presented and the way you were taught. And it's hard to break with that, especially early onset when you're entering the business world. You know, there's parents like my age that have kids that are in their late 20s, approaching 30. You know, the parents a little older than us said, they typically come around when they're about 33 or 34 years of age. You just kind of chuckle, right?
Yeah. I mean, here's one thing that has stayed consistent in what we've seen through the Gulf South Index and what we're seeing in terms of how we in communicating with people. The values that there are certain core values that we have as human beings and Americans that just overlap. I mean, it really doesn't matter what corner of the region you come from, what corner of the city, what corner of the country that you come from. There are certain things that have a level of commonality among who we are. And one of those things is about being proud to be an American. And, you know, what we look at and we ask people about the American dream and whether they think that they can achieve the American dream, because that's a question that sort of everyone has their own impression of that, right? What is the American dream? Well, what's the American dream to me might be a lot different than, well, the American dream to you, or the American dream for me living in New Orleans might be a hell of a lot different than somebody in Los Angeles, right? But we both mm-hmm. have a common idea of what we want for ourselves. And when we start talking about values, you know, in the midst of everything, 80% of Americans still say that they're proud to be an American. 80%. We can't get 80% of people to agree on what we want to eat at Jazz Fest. But we all agree that we're proud to be an American. And that's just nationally. It's even higher in the Gulf South. The idea of family, The idea of hard work. I mean, we're talking about percentages of people who say they believe in those values that are in the 80s, in some cases, 90% agreement that we all agree on those similar things. And so what we're finding, and this is what's coming out in our new report in the next couple of weeks, is that there's a tension that's emerged where we're worrying about the future, right? There's a lack of stability. And so we're unsure about the American dream and whether we can achieve it, but we're proud of who we are. And maybe that's the area we can build on, is in those common shared values, as opposed to trying to prove ourselves right all the time.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because we seem to get seem to be getting down to a more granular level now too. I mean, things that in the overall scheme of things are, in my view, inconsequential, but we want to make them consequential, right?
Yes.
The overuse of the word existential. Everything is existential now. It's like it used to have a whole different meaning and purpose. Now, I'm not sure what it means.
Well, and that's been, I agree with you completely. And I've seen commentary coming out of the last presidential election where people who didn't like the outcome were talking about the fact that, you know, everything was being screamed about in the first term of President Trump. Like, this is terrible. It's an existential crisis, that we all got desensitized to it, right? And desensitized to the word even existential. I think what our research is finding is that the idea of the American dream has gotten smaller. It's more of a local American dream, and it's more personal. And so this screaming all the time of that fight to the death, right? This is a fight to the death today. And then you turn on at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, it's a different fight to the death. I think the way that people are starting to view the world around them is much more local and much more personal to them. And that's, you know, then the trick is, how do you communicate to people and share information with people in that environment so that they open up and listen and consider?
Yeah. It's going to be a challenge for sure. I've got some really kind of nasty texts that have come in about, you know, this difference of opinion, and they're like, I'm bemoaning opinion. No, I think opinion is valuable, right? But
sure,
I like listening to the countervailing opinion more than I like listening to one that embraces my opinion, because I want to know what other people are thinking about. And I take those as educational opportunities for me to make sure that I'm not missing something. You know, a different perspective.
Well, I'm like you. I try to be like you, right? I try to do that. I think in some things, holding on, white knuckling onto our opinions just for the sake of being right is like holding a grudge, right? And I've heard people say about holding a grudge is like you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die, right? We get ourselves so closed off. And, you know, it takes courage. And I'm saying this as someone who is not as good at this as I should be. But it takes courage to listen to someone else's point of view. It takes an open-mindedness to read a news story you wouldn't otherwise read, or watch the news all the way through and see things that you may not have seen before. And that helps inform opinions. It makes the opinions we have maybe even better informed, or it helps us refine it so we have a better understanding of where other people are coming from. Right now, it's just in opposite directions, and it's a shame.
No doubt. Mark Earhart, as always, we truly appreciate the time, the insight. Mark is the president of the Earhart Group. Have a great week.
Thanks, Noel. You too. Talk to you.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run. Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On a text line, oh no, Newell's not interested in other people's opinions. Example, when he jumped down that man's throat with where is your moral compass? You know, it's really interesting. People hear what they want to hear. That individual was advocating for illegal immigration by virtue of saying they are the ones that got a Social Security number are contributing to Social Security, and at the same time admits that they're not entitled to receive benefits as a justification for not really doing anything about illegal immigration. So yeah, I think the appropriate response is, oh, it's okay if we exploit a group of people to the economic benefit of the United States. And I challenge you. Think about what you're saying. That justifies that. Where is your moral compass? It works well if I steal from you. It inures to my benefit. And therefore, if there are more of you that I can steal from, the better off the country's going to be. So therefore, they're contributing to the success of the American dream, but we're perpetrating a fraud on them. Make sense to you? Well, I'm sure it doesn't, because it didn't make sense to me. And if people are turned off by questioning someone's moral compass in that situation, I'm sorry, but that's not the kind of opinion that has really much value. I think most people would agree. With the exception of you. We'll be right back.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.